In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It still amazes me how sometimes a song can come on the radio and suddenly I am transported back to a particular time and place. It calls to mind a memory attached to that song. And I can remember where I was, who I was with, how I felt at that particular time, and sometimes even evoke smells of what food was being cooked. And while the song is not the totality of whatever was going on, it makes it real and present in that moment, at least for me. Now, Christ, who created us with this referential capacity, uses in today's gospel material examples of seed and soil to reveal eternal and heavenly truths about us and our relationship with Him. We are but sojourners in this life, with our ultimate destination and citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. All things in our material reality, when utilized properly, all things are offered back to Christ, the one who created them, and also lead us to Him. Even something as simple as planting a seed, it points us to the heavenly reality and the importance of being attentive to how we live and direct our lives now. Christ tells us, one of the few times that He does this, He explains the parable very, very clearly. So rather than trying to recreate it, I'll just use His words. Christ says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones who are on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit with patience." So we see that hearing is only the first step. Coming to know about God is not the totality of who He is. And so we seek to draw into a deeper relationship of experiential knowledge with Him. Like a parent calling a toddler, the gospel beckons us to take steps towards our Father, that we may bring forth fruit with patience and persistence. We are being called to a steadfast life, which follows Christ without wavering, without being pulled away from the path leading to Christ by passionate thoughts and feelings, by whatever comes to us throughout the day. A steadfast life in Christ without being pulled away by making enemies, whether through our speech, through the things that we do, or our thoughts. Those who have different opinions or perspectives are not our enemy. We have one enemy, and that is Satan. Without letting the distractions and temptations which surround us and keep us from coming to worship God in His church and through our lives, we're called to this steadfast life. And the church provides us with every help in our effort to break up the rocky and compacted soil, and to pull out the thorny weeds that choke away the word of God. We are given every tool necessary to draw near to Christ. To overcome temptations of self-indulgence, we're given fasting. To overcome greed, we're given tithing. To overcome pride, we're given the sacrament of confession. To overcome self-reliance and isolation, we're given the corporate worship of the church. And we have this often because we need it often. To restore us to health, we're given the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. To encourage and guide us, we are surrounded by the icons of the saints in the life of Christ. Today in the Holy Orthodox Church, we celebrate the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. There were 367 of them that we remember. These fathers who preserved the veneration and use of icons in the Christian worship of God. And as with Christ's example of the seeds, icons too are material objects that reveal to us the eternal and heavenly reality. They call to mind the life of that person or the biblical story that is being shown. And while only one part of that story can be depicted, it serves to bring the whole story to mind. Or how that saint lived their life in the pursuit of holiness and unity with God. How they lived their life in the pursuit of holiness so that the divine light of God might shine forth from them. That's why in the icons the saints have gold halos. And in many cases, gold backgrounds. This is God's light shining forth through them because they were so united with him in their life by his divine grace. And through these holy images, we are led to an understanding of who God is and who we are in relationship to him. Making that person or the story present and active with us here. And it's important to understand and to bear in mind that the honor we show to the icons is very distinct from the worship that we offer and is due to God alone. Through the offering of incense and the Eucharistic sacrifice. And yet, honoring the saint through kissing the icon is again only a first step. This first step is to be followed by emulating their life. Emulating their virtues and their love for God. Putting away any temptations for judgment or for condemnation. Any misplaced desire for the material things of this world over and above our God. Everything in the Orthodox Church ought to point us to Christ. It should lead us to examine ourselves and measure where I am compared to Christ and begin to close the gap that exists there. The image is intended to bring us to the original and the idea to its fulfillment. So let us glorify God and his saints through their veneration, but more through a life lived in imitation of their love and steadfastness in Christ, that we may too become the good soil which brings forth fruit with patience. Amen.